Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
We're nearing the end of the holiday gift-buying rush, and it can be daunting figuring out the best, most interesting, and most useful consumer electronic gifts to go under this year's tree. But there's one man who's been working on that homework assignment all year, Boston Globe technology reporter Hiawatha Bray. So we invited Hiawatha to give us a rundown of his favorite gadgets, and I started by asking him what makes 2010's technological devices different from last year's.
They continue, of course, as we've seen throughout the history of consumer electronics, to get cheaper and more powerful and cheaper and more powerful. You know, there are a bunch of trends that you certainly see, new product lines that are really starting to catch on. You're starting to see the answers to the Apple iPad starting to emerge with new tablet devices that people are using as alternatives. Probably the most technically impressive right now is the Samsung Galaxy Tab, which is a really nice tablet computer that's based on the Android operating system.
Nice enough. Do you think it's nice enough that it could chip away the iPad market share?
I tend to doubt it. Now, the reason is primarily that the price is all wrong. I mean, they charge about $600 for this thing, and you can get an iPad for that price. And if you've used the iPad, it is so elegant and easy to use and seamless, and there's this whole ecosystem of software surrounding it. And if you're going to end up paying that much money anyway, you might as well get an iPad. Ironically, my favorite alternative to the iPad is actually an e-book. It's the Nook Color from Barnes & Noble.
Nook
Color. It's not really a full-fledged tablet computer, so it's not a full alternative. But next year, Barnes & Noble says they're going to open an app store, and you're going to be able to run book-related apps and games and things like that on the Nook Color.
Hiawatha, why do you like the Nook Reader versus the Kindle or any other tablet readers out there?
Don't get me wrong. The Kindle's marvelous. I mean, the Nook, of course, suffers from some of its advantages. The Nook is color, for example, and the only way to do that is with a traditional LCD screen, and so it's heavier because it's got a bigger battery. It only gets like 8 hours of battery life compared to a Kindle, which will last you like, you can make a Kindle last for a month. So no, I mean, it's not like it's perfect by any means. It's an alternative that is in many ways very different technically, but it also does a lot more than a Kindle. You get a full-fledged traditional web browser there. You can do real internet surfing on this device. And so I'm looking at that and thinking, as an alternative to the Kindle, it's not a bad option.
Hiawatha, you also have your eye on a mobile phone, but it's not the iPhone, which everyone seems to have. It's a new phone out by Google.
Yeah, Google is still trying to have its own phone, but it's not doing it the way they tried it before, where they were trying to actually sell the phone themselves. That was a complete failure, even though the phone, which is called the Nexus One, was a pretty good phone. The problem was that Google has no idea how to sell consumer products. They didn't have any idea how to do customer service. This time, they're just selling them through Best Buy or through T-Mobile. And this particular phone is, I believe, $199, and it's a really nice Google phone. It's not spectacularly different from a lot of other Android phones out there, but it's really well made. It's from Samsung. It's got the nice OLED screen that's very different, very bright, colorful screen that's different from the traditional LCD screens that you get on things like the iPhone. And the other thing that it's got, you can't really use yet. I mean, the other really hot feature, well, what we hope will eventually be a hot feature, is something called near-field communications. You know those credit cards where you just wave them over the credit card reader and it just automatically works?
Sure. This heard about them, I should say.
There you go. Well, this technology is built into the very body of the phone.
So you could wave your phone over a payment terminal of sorts, and
bingo,
like that, boom, you don't need a credit card, you bought what you're trying to buy.
That's the idea. Your phone becomes your credit card.
So, Hiawatha, are you saying that they're selling a phone that has a technology that's not yet usable, but it's already preloaded with that technology?
Basically, that's right, yeah. And eventually, they're hoping that enough of these trials are going to start coming online throughout the country that people will be able to use these phones to actually do this, and then the ideal will catch on. And this is the first phone to hit the U.S. market that has that built in, so we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it's got a lot of potential.
Hiawatha Bray, you've also been testing out something that's quite good for people who can never seem to find their phone. Tell us about that one.
Oh, yeah, that was the Neo. That's a really weird, cute little device. It's a limited but fun idea in technology that's based on Bluetooth which is the way we sync those wireless headsets to our phone. Well, you can sync other things using Bluetooth as well. And one of them is this little thing. It's like a key fob. And you sync the key fob to your wireless phone. And now you can do a whole bunch of really interesting things with it. For example, you might attach it to your luggage in an airport. And if anybody were to pick up the bag and walk away, it would start to beep because it would automatically realize it's getting farther away from your cell phone. So it acts as a sort of burglar alarm in crowded environments.
In your column, you've described this as a handy defense mechanism for the absent-minded.
Absolutely. The flip side is that you can attach it to something, and then if you can't find it, you can walk through your house or wherever, through your office, and you take out your phone and punch up the Neo device and press the locate button, and it starts beeping, and you can use the sound to locate it when it's anywhere in your house. It's kind of a cute little device, but I'm wondering how many people would really want to rush right out and buy it. Plus, it's about $70 with shipping included. Kind of pricey.
Now, you've also been trying out an alarm clock priced at $150. What in the world did you get for $150 when you could probably get a $9.99 alarm clock at your local...
Oh, you get the internet. Oh, I love this thing. This is called the Sony Dash. It's been around for a while. It started out at $200, but they brought the price down to $150, and at that price, it makes a lot of sense, because what this is an alarm clock that basically has a touch screen and gives you pretty full access to a huge number of internet applications. It runs apps, sort of like your smartphone does. It runs, for example, a YouTube app. It runs a Pandora app. And I don't know if you know what Pandora is.
Yep.
That's one of those internet music services where you can pick the music you happen to like and just tell it to play that music all the time. And it actually, with this device, you can connect to thousands of internet radio streams. This does not have an AM/FM tuner in it. You listen to music on the internet on this device.
So are you saying people cannot use this to wake up to Bob Oakes on Morning Edition on BUR?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're on the internet.
Okay, so
you
we just need to get the right.
Okay. You can still do that. But it's not just music. You can have it automatically display the New York Times. You can have it automatically display the weather.
Now, another gadget you've been looking at reminds me of all the people I know who travel a lot. They fly a lot for their jobs. And a lot of mm-hmm. these people just love those noise-canceling headphones made by Bose, the Framingham
Absolutely.
Company. But they're very expensive. Now, you've been looking at a less expensive alternative, a much less expensive alternative.
Yep. Audio-Technica makes a set that costs only about $60. And I got to tell you, they work. They work really well. My big kick against them is they're not as soft and comfortable as the Bose headphones, and they're not as well built because they're cheaper. But these things really do exactly what they're supposed to do, and I think in terms of audio performance, they work about as well as the Bose headsets, which kind of surprised me. You basically have a little battery-powered device in there, and it does noise cancellation. If there's noise in the area around you, it automatically sends out a contrary sound wave so that it just disappears. And it really works.
So if you'd prefer to spend $60 rather than $300, you don't mind headphones that look a little plasticky and are a little tight on the ears, you think this is a good one?
Absolutely. It's a good low-cost alternative.
Hiawatha Bray, what tech gift are you hoping to get this holiday season?
I would love to get my hands on the upcoming tablet from BlackBerry, the Playbook. That one's going to be really interesting because BlackBerry faces some real challenges in this market, and they really have a chance to make a very good business-centric tablet if they can pull it off, and I'm really eager to see what they're going to do.
Hiawatha Bray, thanks for the gadget overview.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hiawatha Bray is a technology reporter for the Boston Globe. We're about to take one more break. When we come back, there's a thin line between utopia and dystopia. And when you're working on an assembly line, the same holds true. We'll hear about the history of the American company town, from satanic mills to industrial Edens. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.